after the last incident, which we had been going to counseling in the midst of it when it was found out again, I just stopped everything. And basically been married, but just dead in the marriage.
Painful. Listen, we're going to get to the rest of Sarah's question here in a moment. And many of you that left comments on our storyline about how you've either been wrestling with some issues, maybe got a question for me on marriage or a reset that you've done in your marriage, we're going to hear some stories. If you're married, thinking about married, you've been married, you got kids who are thinking about being married, you know somebody who's married, pretty well everybody, right? Next half hour, we'll give you some help. Teach some principles from intentional living on this thing we call reset. Back to factory settings in our marriage. 4 steps from intentional living. We'll get to those as well. Dr. Randy here, along with Jennifer, Stephen, and Gino. Welcome, Facebook friends. Thank you for joining us on Facebook. Glad to have you with us. Hope you're sharing this with others. If you have a comment, you're welcome to share it here as well. Tell you what, let's get started by hearing the rest of Sarah's question for me. I think it has something to do with trust. Take a listen.
The question I have is, I love your program about living intentionally, and I would love to apply intentional actions to marriage specifically. The barrier that I have is not knowing how to, it's kind of emotional for me. There's been affairs and things that have occurred in our marriage, and ups and downs, probably more downs than ups. After the last incident, which we had been going to counseling in the midst of it when it was found out again, I just stopped everything. And basically been married, but just dead in the marriage. When I had thought we were making some traction, we were in marriage counseling. That's where I struggled. Actions don't match up with words.
Hey, listen, Sarah, I think you said it. We're talking intentional living. Actions are more important in intentional living than just words. In fact, that's true of parenting as well. Your actions as a parent are more important than the words. I mean, you could tell your kids anything you want, thinking they're going to believe you. But if you don't back it up with action in terms of how you behave, to them, it's just hypocrisy. And so when we have this kind, if we have an active ongoing affair going on in a marriage, everything should stop. You can't have 3 people in a marriage. And you've got to just call it out for what it is. And then somebody's got to be called to account. Are we going to have a marriage or not? That's the way marriage works. 2 people for a lifetime. And so what I hear from you, Sarah, is we were doing this and we were doing that. And I think the ball needs to be in your husband's court in terms of, honey, are we going to be married or not? Because I'm not going to be in a marriage with 3 people. I can't be in a marriage where I'm just an add-on. That's not God's intention. And so I would encourage you, Sarah, to get some help for you. You need to find a counselor, pastor's wife, someone who's going to help you process what's going on. And I would say to your husband, and I would say to every man or woman who's not being faithful in your marriage, it's going to bite you and your family big time. Make a decision. Work on the issues. The first step of intentional living is to describe the problem with humility and honesty and personal responsibility. It's one of the laws of intentional living, taking 100% responsibility. And when you do that, there can be hope. Without it, not much in marriage, unfortunately. That's a sad one, but you know, Betty has a reset story. I think maybe could be a little encouraging to you, because it's possible to move from what we heard with Sarah to Betty. So Betty, are you ready? Go.
Well, I just wanted to share that my husband and I have been married for 26 years,
And back in the beginning, I was a Christian, but not really walking out my faith, and my husband didn't have much of a faith at all. So as my faith began to grow and I really began to follow God, of course, I wanted my husband to come along with me. But I used to just really just tell him all the time, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, and just really almost beat him over the head with it because I wanted it so badly for him. I have a friend who woke me up because she's from Massachusetts, and she told me, now, Betty, don't try to be Holy Ghost Junior. And so what I learned was, through my reading of the scripture, I was really convicted that, yes, we're not meant to try to win them by words, but by our actions. And so I just let him see my love for Christ. I let him see how much I loved Jesus Christ. And he wanted what I had in the end. And the best part of the story is, after 26 years, it just made me cry. Last year, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. So my point in calling is to tell people, don't give up, but just keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and not on your husband, but on Christ.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for sharing that. We needed that, Betty. I think there was encouragement to people who have been wondering, do I hang on, don't I hang on? And then we hear another one says, I've been hanging on and things aren't changing. And listen, been there in terms of dealing with and counseling with many of you, in either through our conferences or what have you. Every story is a little different. But I'll tell you what, it keeps coming back to these same basic principles of taking personal responsibility, humbling ourselves before God. And when I hear a theme of, we got to the end of ourselves and we kind of hit that reset in our lives, spiritually and otherwise, and with humility before God, getting on our knees. And when I hear a spouse, a husband or wife that says, hey, I'm coming to Christ, I'm done with this on my own. And two people start walking together. It's a powerful thing. The Bible says that. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And so, when it comes to this thing of living our lives today intentionally in Christ, it comes down to how we decide to behave, what we're going to do. You know, Stephen was reminding me during that break there that our verse for the ministry is to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. Yeah, that's what it means. You know, what is God's intention for your marriage? The Bible is very clear that God's intention is for husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That's a pretty big deal. And wives to reverence and respect your husband. And then to be mutually submissive one to another, it says in Ephesians 5:21. That stuff is possible, not easy. You got people coming from different backgrounds, different experiences. Some of you bringing trauma into your marriage and experiences into your marriage and maybe previous marriages. And it complicates it, but it is possible. By the way, you can share your story of redemption or recall, reset. Maybe you feel like a recall, but a reset. You can do that on our story line at 888-888-1717. Ron called, shared a story of the power of one thing. Take a listen.
7 years ago, I asked my wife for the divorce. Wasn't working. But about 6 years ago, I started listening to your program, and I have followed a lot of the things you have suggested to try, such as I've gone to my wife and says, what is one thing that I can change to make our marriage better? I do that about every 2 months, 3 months, try to find something new, and it started, well, I don't know anything. Then I've also gone in and says, what is one thing that shows you I love you that I do? And our marriage, we celebrated 24 years in September. We're the happiest we've ever been. She is changed. She is trying hard, you know, and it's wonderful. And I wanted to thank you for that. You know, and I'm not perfect at changing it, but she sees that I'm trying and she sees that I understand that that's an issue for her. You know, so it shows me that I care about her, and it's just not about me in this marriage. It's about both of us.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Which is better in communication, face-to-face or by email? It all depends. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. And I say it all depends because face-to-face with an emotionally charged issue with an emotionally weak person will set off an emotional response. So can I encourage you to use email for factual issues, numbers, facts, agreements, and use face-to-face for verbal inflection, nonverbal cues, so you can clarify what's being said and be respectful of each other. Now, with COVID, that's more difficult with mask and Zoom and so on, but to the extent you can, connect with a person so you can share and hear and listen and learn. When you do, you know what? That's a powerful way of being intentional in your relationships.
Go to theintentionallife.com/minute to get the Intentional Living Minute in your email every day.
Yeah, I hope you do that. We've sent that out all over the country, around the world as well, every day from our center. Questions continue to come in from around the country. Here's one that's from Aisha. Take a listen.
I am on a third marriage. I have children from both those marriages, and I feel like I'm happily married, but I really struggle with my husband now because I had to become so independent in the relationships that I was in before. I had to trust only myself, you know, rely only on myself, that I have a really hard time honoring and trusting him in a relationship, and I want to do that, but he is not the kind of person who takes over you. He's kind of a laid-back, quiet kind of guy, and of course, I've become a very A-type personality, and so we really struggle in our marriage, and I'm having a hard time finding the right direction to head, to pull me back, I guess, curb that, but learn to let him take over, and I didn't know what advice you might have for me to start moving in that direction.
Well, Aisha, listen, you said a mouthful there in a few seconds. Third marriage. Now, that's a whole topic in itself. Three marriages. You said, I've learned to kind of protect myself, put up a wall. I have to be in charge. I'm not going to rely on, I think that was the word you used, I'm not going to rely on my husband. Well, what happens is these walls develop in a relationship, and the normal process of a marriage relationship, mutual respect, trust, all of those things get broken down when the walls go up. Kind of like having a neighbor you don't trust, so you put up the wall a little higher to keep them away. And so you're asking the right question, but I would encourage you to bring this to your husband's attention. Just sit down and talk to him. Be honest. Say, honey, I love you. I think I had a good marriage. I've been married three times. I don't want to go through this again. I want to be able to really make this marriage work for God's glory. And I'm really struggling. It's my issues. I'm struggling. What is it that, you know, this is what I need. This will help me feel more trust when it comes to you in the marriage. Or maybe you need for him to be a little more assertive in taking some leadership. I don't know what it is, but to be honest with him. And then in the process, to really talk to someone. You got a lot at stake here. Go find a counselor, someone who's going to be able to confront, discuss, share, love, help you walk through these issues from your past. So the two of you ultimately can really make this marriage work. You know, the stats aren't really good. First marriage is 40% or so. Second marriage is 50% or so fail. And it continues. And so if practice made perfect, we'd be perfect by the third marriage. We're not, because we bring all the junk with us. That's why we try to help people in that first marriage, wherever you are today, if you can, to God's glory, deal with it. And so I hear your honesty, Aisha, and I respect that. In the process, I would just talk to your husband and then get some help for yourself as well, okay? Diana is sharing a story. Listen, this is really interesting. You talk about hope. You talk about hanging on. I think you're going to really be interested in her story. Take a listen.
Hi, my name's Diana. I was listening to your program about reset. I'm a widow now. My husband and I were separated for 12 years. We separated for different reasons. I was a believer, and he just couldn't handle that. When we got married again, he had gotten saved. God gave me above and beyond. what I had prayed for in a man. We were both committed to each other to make it work, and it was just an awesome almost 23 years. Love covers a multitude of sins. We shouldn't sweat the small stuff. You know, communication is everything in commitment.
Indeed. It's we sweat a lot of the small stuff, don't we? You know, the lesson this month for our intentional living community of several thousand around the country who are walking with us and supporting the ministry and praying for us is on this topic of a reset in your marriage. And I use the illustration of a reset as an example because reset is different than a reboot. If you know anything about computers, when you reboot, you basically shut it off, the computer, right? People, that's what Dean, our tech guy, says. Have you rebooted it? I don't know. Shut it off, turn it back. So I've just learned, just shut the thing off and turn it back on. And generally, it'll start working again. But you know what? Everything that was on the screen is exactly the way it was before. All the programs are exactly the same. So when you reboot a marriage, it's sort of kind of just with the same stuff. And so a reset, usually it says you went back to factory settings. And when I heard that, I was thinking, that's exactly what we need. The factory here is God's intention for your marriage, God's intention for your life. And no matter how many things have gotten, you know, glitches in your marriage or buffers or whatever other technical stuff, if I'm using that analogy of computers, when you reset, you get back to the original plan of the creator of that machine. And we've been created for a very special purpose when it comes to our relationships. And God's word is not silent on this. It teaches us how we're to live. And here at the Intentional Living Center and at our conferences, we go through these steps of, first of all, teaching people how to solve problems by describing the problem. What is it? We have to do this with humility, with a lot of questions, with honesty, with personal responsibility, with good counsel, and then making a decision. What are you going to do next? You know what the problem is. You know what the issue is in our marriage. You know what the issue is with your finance. You know what the issue is with your kids. So what are you going to do next? Are you going to do it God's way? Are you going to try to find His intention? Or are you going to go in your own plan, which generally doesn't work as well? This takes prayer. It takes time. It takes a plan of action. Intentional living helps people build a plan. What is it that you're going to do next that'll bring glory to God and benefit to yourself? And then to move to the step that we call the power of one thing, that daily decision of acting. It breaks inertia. Takes a risk sometime. In your marriage, it's a risk to say, I'm going to change how I respond to my spouse. I'm going to be more vulnerable. That's not easy to do. But learning that doing one thing, in fact, I challenge you today, what one thing for 30 days every day that would make the biggest difference in your marriage, and then do it. And then to, number four, to declutter every day, one thing. What is it you face in your mind, in your life, in your schedule? The clutter that you have that's keeping you from having the kind of marriage that God intends. See, these are some of the steps that we teach about having an intentional marriage. To be able to describe the problem, decide what you're going to do next, do the next right one thing, and then declutter one thing daily. You know what? If you were to take those four as an outline, you can solve probably most problems you're going to face in life when God is at the center of that decision. That's powerful. All right, we're here in the Intentional Living Center today. Charlie from Phoenix, he left this comment a while ago, and Stephen brought it to my attention, and I thought, let's share this today. Listen to Charlie's comments from Phoenix.
Hi, my name is Charlie from Phoenix, Arizona. My first marriage was a really bad thing. I didn't show love or affection properly. I didn't value my wife. And I think affection should have a manifestation of, you know, value. I didn't value my wife, but even with little things, you know, buying flowers, taking her out, you know, always using the excuse, you know, we don't have enough money. But when it came time to getting things I wanted, I always had enough money. So I didn't realize the failure of those things until long afterwards. my second wife has passed away, but our marriage was great. We valued each other. I deliberately showed affection in as many ways. I learned my wife's love language. Her favorite thing to get as a gift was flowers, and I showered her with flowers year round. So creating a great environment for that love, it was amazing, the difference. But showing love is gotta be, you know, it's a major part of life.
Yeah, it is. All right, Jennifer, you're the lady around here today. All right. Flowers, is that the thing you'd like? Is that the thing that would make you feel most loved in your marriage?
Most loved? Not necessarily, but I do like flowers, and Bill does bring me flowers.
Is he?
At least once a month.
Yeah.
And it's always nice to have pretty flowers in the house. But I really enjoy, what is it called? When they do something for you, like something around the house.
Acts of service.
Thank you, yes. Acts of service. I really enjoy that because to me it's him showing me that he cares about what's going on around the house just as much as I do.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
Do the dishes, Bill.
Yes.
Vacuum the carpet.
Please get some of those dishpan hands.
Love me. That's the way you love me, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And by the way, if you guys in your marriage are looking for a good book, one that's been out forever, best-selling book. Pretty simple. I mean, it just lays it out. Gary Chapman, The Love Languages, The Five Love Languages, and that's one of them, Acts of Service. It's sort of understanding to speak the language of your spouse so they understand what's important to them. Acts of Service, what are the rest of them? Acts of Service, gifts, time. Got 3 out of 5. Somebody may know the rest. Intimacy? No, I don't think so. I don't know. Stephen, he's guessing. He's guessing in there. All right. We've got questions that come in regularly on our comment line. Here's one. This is one that many of you, I think, really have on your heart when you think about hitting a reset in your marriage. I think she sort of relates to it. Take a listen.
My question is, when you're already trying to work on yourself, you know, to do whatever you can because you know that you can't change someone else, and there's still no real reprieve, it's still staying the same because we both have two different ideologies about what's important.
Well, yeah.
I guess I'm wondering because as I'm trying to be a better person, I'm trying to be more sensitive. I do whatever I can. It's not necessarily that I want everything for him just to do anything. It's just I'm so uncovered because what we decided on before we got married disappeared. And we have two different standards in the house.
Listen, there's a lot there, TJ, and I... you know, whenever we get into a relationship, and marriage, of course, is the most important intimate human relationship, and we're not on the same page, the fewer pages we're on together, the bigger the problem. And so those things have to be confronted. Some of them are big issues. That's why I really encourage two people to humble themselves and just say, you know, you and I aren't on the same page. We need to talk to someone and decide what kind of a life we're going to live here. I see parents who argue over parenting and the kids get hurt because of it. Instead of sitting down, compromising, and agreeing on how you're going to raise the kids. This can be true about money. It can be true about in-laws. It can be true in all areas. You may not agree. Welcome to the world. Turn on the news. We don't agree about anything in this country. Let's face it. Our country is so divided. So it's no surprise it happens in the intimacy of marriage. What kind of a life do you want to live? That's one of the questions of intent. What kind of life do you want to have? You want to be miserable? You can be miserable. But if you want to make your marriage work, you got to sit down two people humbly and deal with those issues. All right. Thank you, TJ. Jennifer, our librarian here, just went and checked out the 5 love languages, so we get them out. Words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, quality time, physical touch. I tell Donna, rub my back, I love you forever. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. If something is working well in your marriage, I encourage you to continue to repeat it. Take that habit, develop it, grow it, make it a part of your daily exercise, what we call our love habits in marriage. On the other hand, if you have some things in your marriage that aren't working, maybe it has to do with communication or forgiveness, or maybe it has to do with parenting or finance, that's when we talk about hitting that reset button, going back to factory settings to figure out what pleases Christ, what is God's intention. And in this lesson, I talk about some things you can do to hit that reset button for God's glory and certainly for your own benefit in your marriage relationship.
I called a couple years ago just out of absolute desperation. I had just found out that my husband had had an affair, and I was pretty broken. And everybody in the world, except for possibly my mom, my dad, and my pastor, were telling me that I just needed to leave him and have a divorce and get on with my life. And I called you because I knew that I still loved him, and I didn't know what else to do. And when I called you, you were so encouraging because you prayed with me and you told me, you know, to just basically draw close to God and commit to work on it with my husband as long as he was willing to work on it, and God would pull us through. It's now 2 years later, and I'm very secure in our marriage right now because I know that, you know, we both went through what we went through for a reason, and now I think we both see what we have to lose, and we cherish each other a lot more.
Amen. Listen, you remind us in that story, wrapping up the show today, you got a lot at stake. I call them high-stake relationships, and a marriage is like the highest-stake human relationship you got going on here. And so making that intentional decision to say, listen, before God, what is it we can do? Making that decision to work on that marriage. I encourage you to do it. I know some of you, I want to just say this, some of you have your marriage failed, and you're divorced. And maybe you look back with regret. Maybe you look back with saying, I had no other choice. Wherever you are today, let me encourage you to seek God first. Work on yourself. I always tell people, become the kind of person that anybody would be crazy not to want to live with and be married to. To be the kind of person that your spouse would want to be married to. As we work on ourselves, that's the, I think, an important, powerful first step when it comes to this thing of having an intentional marriage. With that theme, it's a reminder we're out of here for today. Thank you, Jennifer. Gino on Facebook, thank you, my friend. And Stephen, he is the man as the senior producer around here. I hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll be back with more intentional living. Our comment line is open to you always. If you have a story to share, if you have a question you'd like to ask me, we'd love to hear that. Whatever it is about your life, your relationship, here at the Intentional Living Center, call 888-888-1717. For our entire team, have a great day. God bless you. And remember, be intentional.